The prospect of Russia being banned from this year's Olympic Games hits home as the consequences of a series of major doping scandals becomes apparent. Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFRL. And joining me in the studio is Pavel Butorin, managing editor of RFRL's Russian language television program, Current Time. Welcome, Pavel.
Good to be here.
Good to have you. So the International Olympic Committee announced this weekend that it supports the International Association of Athletic Federations' ban on Russia for systemic doping. This means that Russia's track and field athletes will almost certainly not be allowed to compete in the Summer Olympics in Rio de Janeiro in August. Pavel, how's this going down in Russia? I mean, when you ban the track and field team, that's pretty much the heart and soul of any Summer Olympic team. What kind of fallout should we expect, or what are we seeing?
Well, first of all, the final decision on Russia's athletes is expected to be made at a meeting tomorrow, at a meeting of the International Olympic Committee on June 21st in Lausanne in Switzerland. But, of course, reactions followed immediately. Russian President Putin responded saying that responsibility must always be personified. And he was speaking at the St. Petersburg Economic Forum last Friday, where he questioned the fairness of the decision and said why something along the lines of why should those athletes who are not directly implicated in the scandal, why should they suffer? Of course, the IAAF's answer to that is that, you know, there has been, quote unquote, a deep-seated culture of tolerance.
And it's a systemic issue, so there's no guarantee.
Those are the allegations, yes. And there have also been responses from Russian athletes. Olympic pole vault champion Yelena Isinbayeva said, "We have been blamed for something we haven't done," and she added, "just because we are from Russia." She even said that the ruling constituted a violation of human rights, and she intends to challenge it in an international court. She actually wrote an opinion piece for the New York Times titled "Let Me Compete in Rio." Natalia Zhilanova, the anti-doping advisor to the Russian sports minister, also issued a statement saying that Russia has actually done everything to reform its anti-doping institutions. But there's been one more reaction that sounds kind of interesting. And Alexander Kozlovsky, a Russian member of the European Olympic Committee, gave a pretty emotional reaction saying that something like, "I feel like taking the Baron de Coubertin bust out of the Olympic Museum in Lausanne and smashing it on the pavement."
So they're not taking this well.
Well, you know, any such move, of course, in Russia, it's I would say that the overall reaction in Russia, maybe not official, but has been that it's all part of some kind of anti-Russian campaign that the West is waging. And
so there's no recognition that actually there's a problem here, that there's a systemic dope, that there's been evidence after evidence after evidence has come out.
This
is not a few bad apples. This is a state-run effort. I mean, the revelations last week about armed security agents preventing international anti-doping officials from carrying out tests in Russia. It's an avalanche of evidence that comes up, but this is not resonating at all. There's no recognition that there's a problem.
Not at all. No. Overwhelmingly, in Russia, this has been viewed largely as yet another attempt to undermine Russia. It's just a series of anti-Russian moves on par with Ukraine-related sanctions against Russia,
which are up for renewal this week in the EU. But although the sports minister Vitaly Mutko did himself say basically this means there is pretty much no hope that the track and field athletes are going to be able to compete in Rio.
By the way, Mikhail Butov, General Secretary of the Russian Athletics Federation, said today that he was no longer representing Russia on the Council of the International Athletic Federation. So supposedly something is being done to address the allegations in this ruling, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, and it seems to me that the IOC basically telegraphed what they're going to decide in Switzerland tomorrow with the statement over the weekend that they fully support the International Association of Athletic Federations upholding the ban. This is a big deal, though. I mean, the Olympics are a very big deal in Russia.
Absolutely.
A very big deal. And this, again, it's just the track and field team, but that is the heart and soul of any Summer Olympic team. So really, it's going to be an Olympics without Russia, which is going to be interesting.
It has been estimated that Russia would be losing up to 8 medals.
I would think at least.
They're talking about gold medals too. Uh-huh. You know, so yeah. So that it's a matter of national pride in Russia too. So.
All right. Well, in other news this week, Vladimir Putin is due to visit China later in the week in an effort to revive Russia's much vaunted pivot to the east, which turned out to be less than expected. Speaking at the St. Petersburg Economic Forum last week, Putin announced that he would like to form a new trade bloc, including Russia, China, India, Pakistan, Iran, and some Central Asian former Soviet states. We'll see how that goes. We'll be keeping an eye on that. Also, the European Union is meeting later in the week to decide on renewing sanctions against Russia. The EU last week renewed the Crimea-related sanctions, but they're going to look at the larger Donbass-related sanctions this week. Pavel, what do you got cooking at current time? I understand you have a very interesting story about LGBT rights in Ukraine, or lack thereof.
Yeah, I want to use this opportunity to plug our weekly Sunday show with Timur Olevsky. One of the topics of our latest show was just debating Ukrainian society on LGBT rights following the March for Equality that took place in Kiev about a week ago.
Which went off peacefully,
without major incidents. We have a soundbite from an advisor to the Ukrainian defense minister saying that a pride parade is an abomination at the time when Ukraine is fighting pro-Russia separatists in the east. And at the same time, we have LGBT activists talking to us and saying that, you know, there's a lot of LGBT actually fighting separatists in the mm-hmm. east, although many of them are, you know, just not admitting it because it's a safety issue for them. And one of the organizers of the Equality March actually says that the march is a march for human rights. It's not a carnival. Anyway, there's a big debate in Ukrainian society, and you know, please go ahead and watch that report on Timur.
You know, it's a very important debate because what this is all about in Ukraine is becoming part of Europe. And in this day and age, becoming part of Europe means being tolerant toward sexual minorities. This is a debate that's not going to go away in Ukraine. So I imagine Ukraine does stand out distinguishes itself from Russia in this, in that they can have gay pride parades and that they can go off without incident. Neither of those two things could happen in Russia. You couldn't have one and it wouldn't go off without incident. But there's resistance to LGBT rights in Ukraine. Anybody that's visited Ukraine knows that, and this is
especially in the military.
Especially in the military, and it's significant. This report focuses on gays and lesbians who are active in the Ukrainian military. Right now, but have to remain closeted. Well, that's certainly an interesting topic. I'd advise everybody to take a look at that at www.currenttime.tv. And on that note, we'll wrap it up. That's all we have time for today. You have been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at stories we expect to make news this week. We'll be doing this every Monday, so be sure to tune in. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical Podcast. Joining me in the studio has been Pavel Butorin, managing editor of RFRL's Russian language program, Current Time, which you can watch at www.currenttime.tv. Join us again next week. And now, as always, I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.